This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. It is good to have you with us. We finally made it to Friday. Man, has it been a... has it been a very busy news week or what? So we've got a lot of stories to talk about today. We have some great guests coming up as well. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a few moments. It was interesting. Governor Ron DeSantis was on Fox earlier today, Fox and Friends, I believe, and the governor having some very interesting things to say about Congress and things that we've been talking about on this program. I want you to listen to cut number five, please.
What should be the bullet points?
I think it's economy, immigration. Like, we don't talk about immigration as much as we were maybe when Biden was letting it in. The border is secure. We've stopped the influx. He's now working on a moratorium of new people coming in, particularly from some of these countries where the people are hostile. That's a huge victory for people. They need to be talking about that and go even bolder on that. I just think you got to be bold. I think you got to be strong. And I think one of the frustrations with the Congress is, what have they done since August till now? They really haven't done anything, right? And it's like, if I were, I'd be like every day coming out with something new and make the Democrats go on the record, show the contrast. Think about why we've been able to win big in Florida is because there's a very sharp contrast to what we're doing and what these, what the liberal Democrats stand for. Parents' rights, illegal immigration, you know, tax cut, anything you can think of. Most voters knew we were on their side, and I think you got to really make that sharp. But I would tell you, you know, the Democrats, they caused a lot of this with the inflation, and now they're acting like it was like they had nothing to do with it.
You do good on the couch. You got to come in more often. Sorry.
All right, yeah, there you go, Ron DeSantis. Look, let's just get real for a quick moment. He's looking at running in 2028. That's what this is about. But look, when one of the things I'm all about is looking at records, and there's been a lot of talk about, okay, who is, you know, what is 2028 going to look like? You've got J.D. Vance, who's been talking that up, and people have been talking up J.D. You also have Marco Rubio, who has spent many, many years in the Senate and has been doing a phenomenal jobs. How many jobs does he have? Five or six jobs in the administration so far? And he's been knocking it out of the ballpark with every single one of them. And both of those have been talked about as possible presidential contenders. Let me say this about J.D. Vance. And again, I think he's doing a terrific job. Don't get me wrong at all. But when you're looking at experience, when you're looking at the track record, does J.D. Vance actually have that track record? I mean, he was a first-term senator. That was his only experience in politics before he was plucked out of the Senate to run and to be President Trump's running mate. Ron DeSantis, on the other hand, and I'm going to lean in on our Florida listeners for this question. Is he doing a great job in your state? Because at least the stories that are making it onto the national platform, he's knocking out of the ballpark with everything. And I do wonder, if he had not jumped the gun, if he had not decided to throw in and try to challenge President Trump, or if he would have just gracefully backed out once Trump jumped into the race, I wonder if maybe the vice president right now would be Ron DeSantis instead of J.D. Vance. But, you know, there are a lot of folks in the America First movement that for some reason don't like Ron DeSantis. And I don't get that, because as far as I know, and there have been a couple of oversteps and missteps, but DeSantis has been doing a pretty heck of a good job running the state of Florida. So we're going to be following this. So DeSantis also warned Republicans about 2026 and the midterms. And this is actually a very valid argument here he's trying to make. He's saying, hey, look, listen up. You cannot be running on Donald Trump's coattails because those coattails are going away. Take a listen. Cut 11.
A couple things. One, in an off-year midterm, the party in power's voters tend to be more complacent. Party out of power, they get upset, right? That's just the nature of midterms. Right. We saw it when Obama was in and Republicans. So that dynamic is always going to be there. Then I think Republicans have an issue that Donald Trump has created a big pool of voters, but some of them are unique to him, right? So they will go vote for Trump, and they'll vote for all the Republicans when Trump's on the ballot. But if he's not on the ballot, some of them don't vote. Now, you can overcome that. We did it in Florida in 2022. You know, we had a state that was a purple state, one-point state. We won by 1.5 million votes, 20 points, the biggest Republican victory ever. But we did that based on results and substance. We did it by flying under a banner of bold colors, not pale pastels. We were sticking it to the left every single day and delivering big victories. So it can be done. But I think it's like you can't go on 2024 and say, oh, well, we Republicans won this district by 10 points. So therefore, we're going to win it because President Trump is the reason you won it by 10 points.
What do you say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's absolutely right. And that's the reason why Trump was the factor here. Trump was the factor in Tennessee not losing that 7th congressional district earlier this week. It got so crazy that Donald Trump had to do two campaign events the day before the election. And it was Donald Trump who propelled Matt Van Epps to victory in Tennessee. And we've seen the president doing this all over the country. But here's the problem. He's not going to be able to do that in the midterms. We're going to have, I mean, everybody, the entire house is up, right? So he can't go and do campaign events for every single Republican in their district. And if there are some pretty tight districts, we're going to have to make sure those Republicans are equipped and Republican voters are motivated. Now, here's the argument I'm hearing, and this is what this is where things get a little squirrely. You have the America First crowd, and then you have the I don't want to simplify this too much, but I'm going to simplify it because it's radio and you're driving and I don't want you to lose track of what you're doing. All right. So let's just say you've got two factions. You've got the establishment and you've got the America First crowd. The America First crowd says this. You will pick candidates, Republican Party, you will pick candidates who must agree with every single thing we believe. And if you do not, we will not support your candidate. We will not get out and vote. On the other side of the party, you've got the other faction, the establishment. And the establishment is saying the following. You will support our candidate, and you will do everything we want you to do. And if you do not, we will not support your candidate. Do you see where I'm going with this? So there is no compromise at all. And honest to goodness, both factions, America First and the establishment, would rather have a Democrat in office as opposed to one of theirs. And it is an honest to goodness purity test. And I know you can make a great argument for why that is necessary. But time and time again, we have seen, and I'll just tell you, there have been America First candidates who I believe every single thing they believe, but they were bad candidates and they got their butts handed to them on election day. And I've seen the same thing on the other side. So, As a party, we're going to have a coming together of the minds. And if that's the way you want to go, that's great, fine, no problem. But you're not going to win. And it just seems to me that we are heading into a point in American history where we just simply cannot allow the Democrats to control anything in Washington, D.C. We just can't do that. And I say that because they have been emboldened, even though they got their butts handed to them Tuesday in Tennessee. They are still emboldened because they actually believe the radical progressive nature of the party and that wing of the party is the way to go. And that will generate excitement among the youth of America. And the question is, will they get out and vote? I don't know. We had a lot of young people get out and vote for Donald J. Trump. The other unknown component is that we do not have Turning Point USA. And right now, let me just say that Turning Point USA is not being effective. They're too busy fighting Candace Owens right now. I mean, that thing is a mess. So we're going to have to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. We're going to have to figure this thing out and decide, okay, where do we want to go with all of this? And it's a decision we're all going to have to make, and you've got to figure out. And look, here's the thing. For me and you, everybody has their issue. For me, it's the life issue. I will not vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion. I don't care who they are. Because if you can't get the life issue right, you can't get anything else right. Some of you are like that. You've got an issue that is a non-negotiable. And that's okay to have. But every single policy, you cannot go down. You can't have every single policy be non-negotiable, or otherwise you're never going to be able to get behind anybody. So all that to say, Ron DeSantis is running for the White House in 2028. If you didn't pick that up in the conversation there on the curvy couch. And I think he would make a good president. He's done a good job in Florida, unless all you Florida folks out there, and we'll have to check with Mark from the Villages and all of our other friends, unless you folks are telling us otherwise, it sure looks like he's done a pretty good job. Trump isn't relocating Mar-a-Lago, and he's building his presidential library down there. By the way, I cannot wait to see the Donald J. Trump presidential library. I will be camped out for days. We'll do the show from a pup tent, Dylan. Well, we'll have to get some air conditioning, but that pup tent may be at the Ritz-Carlton. But by golly, we're going to be there when that library opens. That is going to be a great day in America. As opposed to that Death Star that Barack Hussein Obama is building in Chicago. Jeez, hello. All right, I don't want to get off topic here, but we are going to take a quick break. Senator Marshall Blackburn is going to be here. Also, we're going to talk to a reporter for the Washington Stand. They have an amazing story about Chick-fil-A, and it is going to give you indigestion. I'm just going to warn you. And if you're in a Chick-fil-A drive-thru, just pull out of the drive-thru before we tell you the story. We also are going to be talking to an Oklahoma State senator who's about ready to declare war on the University of Oklahoma. We'll tell you about that. And, of course, our good buddy Joe Messina is going to be here. But more importantly, ladies and gentlemen, today is Open Line Friday. That's the one day out of the week you get to ask me any question that you want. 901-260-5926, our number. Again, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Todd Starnes Show. I kind of feel like, Dylan, I'm up at the North Pole hanging out with Santa and the elf. By the way, I want to say a huge, we got to give a big shout out. Dylan, we've got 22,000 runners that are going to be competing in the St. Jude Marathon this weekend. And people from all over America coming to Memphis. And we're really excited because they don't have to wear Kevlar this year.
It's the safest, biggest race of all time.
Yeah. Which means they should be able to run faster since they don't have to be, you know, they don't have to, you know, pack
or slower.
Heat or
they could be running slower because they don't have to run away from anybody.
You know, when Ben Dieter was training for his races, and he's like the fastest white man in America.
Yes.
When Ben Dieter was training, we'd just drop him off in a really bad part of Memphis and say, see you later.
Yeah.
See you, Dieter.
Yeah, he was the fastest person of all time. He's literally had to run away.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
So anyway, welcome. And then, so after the race, this is why I love Memphis. After the race, which is raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, the finest hospital in America, in the world, there's the Santa Pub Crawl on Beale Street. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yes.
You shouldn't have said that. Your mom is listening.
Sorry. No, I haven't heard of this. What is it?
Well, it's on Beale Street, and I guess you dress up in Santa costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go visit bars.
Yes, you visit.
You get holly and jolly and snookered.
It sounds like a time.
No, snookered is not the right word.
Well, it is a word.
Yes, for the Baptists, they're drinking Dr. Pepper, but it doesn't have the same impact.
I drink water and Dr. Pepper.
Oh, there you go.
After the race.
So there you go. So you're doing the road race, the marathon, and then people are doing the Santa pub crawl on Beale Street.
Good time. It's a good time to be in Memphis.
It's a great time to be in Memphis, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And then our big parade, which I'm going to be in a parade tomorrow, the Bartlett Christmas Parade.
Let's go.
I hope people don't throw stuff at me. Throw me some beads. It's a family-friendly parade. Family-friendly.
Not New Orleans.
All right. No, no, it is not. I have a story about that. I'll tell you later. Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Daytona Beach, Florida. Gary is on the line. So, Gary, I'm just curious. What do you think about Ron DeSantis? Has he done a good job running your state?
I would say that I'd give him an A. Not always an A+, but definitely an A. A+ as far as law and order. A+ as far as creating business and making it more accessible for people to work in the state here. But he is showing the biggest thing I've talked to my friends about. You always hear different red state governors and they're conservative, or they say they're Republican. And when they have problems, they say, well, I can only do so much. Ron DeSantis has proved that you don't have to put up with lousy prosecutors. If they don't want to prosecute a case the way he sees it, when he wanted a case being death penalty and they refused to prosecute, he reassigned them. And sheriffs, as far as sheriffs, you always hear different governors say, well, you know, I can only do so much. The sheriff won't help ICE. Every sheriff, all 67 counties, came out. They may not like it. They may tell their buddies they're not happy. They all support ICE. So as far as accessibility, different things, and he's fearless when it comes to debating people. If you want to debate, he'll debate you. And he doesn't put up that part of it's really, I think, is strong, because I'm really sick of Louisiana with the governor there saying that, you know, he can't do anything about New Orleans. They have so much corruption, and I know he can do it. Ron DeSantis has proved you don't have to put up with corruption in your state.
Gary, it's a great point. And again, you may not necessarily agree with everything DeSantis is doing. I don't agree with everything Donald Trump is doing, but I do think that, you know, when you look at it, look at the agendas as a whole, you're like, yeah, I can get on board with that. And, you know, I'm very glad to hear what you just said.
I'm just hoping there's not 10 people running on the Republican side. I always hate the fact that when they start out with 17 people, or now on the Democratic side, there is going to be 15 or 16 people that think they can run the country. And I find that amusing. But I'm hoping it's a smaller field, because it will really put the spotlight on the candidate.
Yeah, Gary, I'm with you there. I still think we're going to have a lot of people throwing in. I know Ted Cruz, there's already rumblings about Ted Cruz jumping into the race. You're definitely going to have, you know, a J.D. Vance and or Marco Rubio. Unless Donald Trump comes out, and this is where it'll get interesting, will Republican voters give Donald Trump the say? If Donald Trump comes to the Republican Party and says, okay, here are your two choices, or this is the team, Rubio, Vance, Vance, Rubio, will the Republican voters say, "What, Mr. President, we will do what you say"?
Yep.
I don't know, but I don't know if they will or not. Again, I'm old fashioned, and Gary, I got to run. I'm old fashioned. I want debates. I want the questions asked, and I want to see where our candidates stand on the issues of the day. And I will tell you, out of all the names that I just mentioned, those are some pretty good candidates. We've got a pretty good bench on the Republican side. The Democrats, they got Jasmine Crockett and that crazy chick out of Nashville. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone, they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. Well, our good buddy Jeff Kantz is making national headlines. Jeff Kantz, the afternoon drive host, WRVA, which is our affiliate there in the Richmond, Virginia area. Jeff interviewed the drunk raccoon. Remember that, Dylan? This is a great story. It actually happened about 15 miles away from Richmond, Virginia. And as the story goes, a raccoon broke into a liquor store and caused all sorts of mayhem. Went on this wild rampage and ended up breaking a lot of liquor bottles and getting drunk. And it was just like, it was not good. It was not a good kind of a drunk, it was bad. So the poor raccoon could not hold its liquor. The police were summoned and found the raccoon passed out in the bathroom next to the toilet.
You never want to be in that situation.
No. You know what impressed me about that whole thing? You know, the police, they photographed the crime scene, and the poor raccoon, it had its, all four of the paws were out.
It's not a good look for him. No. It's the worst day of his life.
Face down on the bathroom floor.
He probably just got fired from trash can factory.
Could be. I don't know. It was, that raccoon was having a hard life.
Really hard.
Really bad day.
I wonder what his drink of choice was.
Not sure.
Probably the whiskey.
Had to have been. But what impressed me, that bathroom looked like it was in Buc-ee's. Mm. Normally when you think of liquor store bathrooms, you know.
You don't think too highly.
No, you don't. And it's something you don't want to photograph. You don't want to put that on social media.
No.
So anyway, Jeff Kantz, I don't know how he did this. Jeff Kantz actually interviewed the raccoon in studio. There's a great photo of Jeff Kantz in his studio with the raccoon. It's the raccoon's got the cans on his head, the microphone. Well done, Jeff Kantz.
He's in rehab.
Jeff Kantz?
No.
Oh, the raccoon. Yes. Oh, sorry.
He's going to his AA meetings. I've heard.
Going to AA.
He's on recovery.
Our thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Get him some iced tea. That's a good choice. All right. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Joe from Ellijay. Joe, you got any drunk raccoons up in the North Georgia mountains?
Todd, we don't, but I'll tell you what, I'm really fired up today because I think Trump is going to have the best economy and the stock market history of the next year, and I think the Republicans are going to win landslide when everybody's stock price are up, 401ks, and with you pushing for him, I think that we'll have a landslide win for the Republicans in the midterms, and we've got to do that because if we were to lose, they can stop Trump. You know, we can't pass anything. So we've got to win the midterms, and I think with your help and all you do, I think we'll have landslide wins because the stock market will hit records, and I understand Trump is going to be traveling this week and all over the country. So I really feel great about the future, Todd, and you're going to help make it happen for Todd in the midterms. I mean, for Trump in the midterms.
Well, I hope so, and I'm glad the president is going out, and that's been a big deal, Joe, is the messaging. And, you know, this is a country, whether you like it or not, you know, it's all about messaging and how you feel. And sometimes you just have to get out there and remind people, hey, look, here's what it used to be like just a couple of months ago, and here's where we are now.
That's exactly right. And all I got to say is go Trump and go Todd Stearns.
All right, Joe, good hearing from you, my friend, our good buddy Joe from LJ. By the way, someone asked if the raccoon had a name, is that Peanut? And no. Peanut is the squirrel. And Peanut was the pet squirrel that got, this is a terrible story. This poor fella had a pet squirrel. And I don't know how that worked out, but it did. And the squirrels are kind of, you know, oddball creatures. They're not very cuddly, as you would think they would be. But anyway, Peanut the squirrel, it's against the law in New York State to own a pet squirrel. You can smoke marijuana in New York City, but you can't have a pet squirrel. And so they sent a SWAT team to the poor guy's house, and they killed the squirrel. So Peanut's dead. And so Peanut is not the raccoon. Raccoon's still alive. So the good people in the Commonwealth, they love their wildlife, and, you know, they believe the Old Testament were stewards of God's creation. So they got the raccoon sobered up and sent it on its merry way. By the way, Dylan, I shouldn't tell this story. We were at breakfast. You know, the lovely Miss Cassie is leaving us, and we'll talk to Cassie a little bit later. But we went out to breakfast.
Yes.
And we went to a great place in Memphis called Sunrise, which is right around the corner from us. And if you're ever in Memphis, you got to try
it out.
It's
the best.
Good stuff. So anyway, we're sitting there, and it's packed. And I got shushed by the GM of radio station KWAM.
Really?
Yes. So I was telling a story about this. We were talking about Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And I said, did you guys see the meme that's going around? And there's a photo of Santa Claus in an open casket, dead as a doornail, and there's this little child in front of the casket crying.
Yep.
Have you seen that? You
know what I'm talking about. Yes, I've seen this. Yes, yes.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
Yeah. And you got shushed.
I was telling it, and I'm like, can you believe this? Santa's dead. And right next to us was a table with like little 4-year-olds.
Yes. There was like 4 little girls. Just sitting right next to us.
And they got up and the mother moved them. Oh, I felt so terrible.
Well, you know, your voice projects, Todd. You have a very radio voice, even in public. So, like, people can hear you say things about Santa Claus.
I think I actually said, quote, sorry, kids, Santa's dead.
Mommy! You just ruined someone's Christmas.
Mommy! You're a mean man, sir. A mean man. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't see the kids.
Don't listen to him, kids. He's the Grinch. He hates Santa.
But the sweet Miss Becky was like, Todd, shush. Yeah. She shushed me.
She did.
And it was a deserve. I deserve to be shushed. Jeez. So that's pretty much how that went.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to be invited back.
I don't think so.
Oh, Lord. That's too bad. They got good tea there. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Mark on Patriot Talk 920. Mark, what's going on?
Well, are you the one on the radio that said the raccoon was drunk as a skunk?
That would be me, yes. That
I want
that would...
you to know that I howled.
Well, thank you.
I think that's one of the funniest things that I've heard on the radio in a long time.
Well, we got to have something to laugh about, Mark. And I'm wondering if the raccoon had a hangover. You know, that probably did not go over well at all.
I believe that's true. But I thought that was very creative of you.
Well, you're very kind to say that, Mark. By the way, big news for you guys. The Supreme Court says that Texas can redistrict after all. I guess you guys had to be pretty happy about that.
Well, if I didn't have 2 artificial knees, I'd dance a jig.
The jig, that's okay. Or the boot scoot and boogie, but you probably don't want to do that with the knees.
No, actually, I can boot scoot, okay.
You might throw your back out, though. You got to be careful. We're not spring chickens, well, Mark.
Okay. Lord, how do I know that for sure? Well, thanks again for the humor.
All right. Well, you're welcome.
It's really great.
Well, thank you for that, Mark. Appreciate you calling in, and we sure do love all of our great friends down in Texas at Patriot Talk 920. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to say something about this situation with the pipe bomber in Washington, D.C. And again, this still goes back to the overarching, broader story of what happened on January the 6th. So we now know that Brian Colt Jr., who is the suspect who was arrested, 30 years old, he would have been around 25 or so when the attack happened. And it turns out the FBI had this guy on their radar from day one. They knew who this guy was. They had all of the evidence. As a matter of fact, Pam Bondi, yesterday at the press conference, Pam Bondi said, look, we didn't have to go out and do anything. We didn't have to do any new investigative work. It was all here. It was all in-house. So my question is, based on all of that information that we now know, why is it that the Biden FBI turned a blind eye to this guy? Is it because Brian Colt Jr., 30 years old, is a black man? Is it because Brian Colt Jr. was a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement? Is it possible that he had extremist far-left political allegiances? Is it possible that it was because he worked for a bail bond company that specifically worked to help illegal aliens who had been arrested by ICE? Maybe it's all of the above. But for whatever reason, they decided to turn a blind eye. And had it not been, and just think about this for a moment, had it not been for Donald Trump getting elected in 2024, we would never have known. This story would have been just like, I don't know, Butler County, Pennsylvania. It would have been like JFK. We never would have known the real truth, the real story. And it may be like Charlie Kirk's assassination. We may have never known. But God love them, and you got to give credit where credit is due. Dan Bongino and Kash Patel and Pam Bondi, the FBI, they did a heck of a great job here. But again, the broader question, and this is, and they say this is just chapter one of a very long investigation, and we could see more arrests. I don't know. But it does seem to me that one of the reasons why, and this may be the only reason why, they decided to take a pass on this guy and arresting this guy is because they wanted the public to believe their narrative of what happened. Because they wanted you to believe that J6 was some sort of a vast right-wing conspiracy to take down the government, to take out the DNC, to take out the RNC, to blow up the U.S. Capitol. They wanted you to believe that a bunch of white people were out there causing mayhem. As a matter of fact, listen to Jake Tapper over at CNN last night when he announced the arrest of Brian Cole, a black man.
Brian Cole Jr., a 30-year-old white man from the D.C. suburbs is charged with transporting an explosive device in interstate commerce and with malicious destruction by means of explosions.
I'm sorry, could you play that just one more? I just want to make sure we all heard what he said about Brian Colt Jr., comma, black man.
Brian Colt Jr., a 30-year-old white man from the D.C.
suburbs. Stop. You see what we're dealing with here, folks? You see what we're dealing with? By the way, all of these illegals that are getting arrested, folks have been posting their arrest dockets on social media, and every single illegal that's been arrested from, I don't know, places like Venezuela and Mexico and Guatemala, all of them are identified not as Hispanics, but as white people. Every single one of them. Do you understand the media here? So Jake Tapper is either colorblind, or he is a pathological liar, or he could be both. But for Jake Tapper to come out and just announce it, and by the way, Jake Tapper never walked it back. He wanted you to believe that the guy who did this was a white guy.
He sounds like he's a white guy. Brian? Doesn't sound very black to me.
That's how they think over at CNN. So again, overarching story here, ladies and gentlemen. We still do not know exactly what happened the day after those pipe bombs were planted, the fake pipe bombs. What happened on January the 6th? We do know There were dozens and dozens of FBI agents that had been strategically planted. We do know that President Trump offered to have the National Guard on hand in the city in case there were any violent protests, a suggestion that was turned down, a suggestion that was not acted upon. We do know that Nancy Pelosi was filmed on video saying whatever happened that day was her fault. Is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that January the 6th, at the end of the day, January 6th turns out to be a fake attack? You say, what do you mean by that, Todd? Because we saw it all play out on national television. I mean that it really wasn't what it was about. They told us this was about retaking the country. But in reality, what if the whole thing was staged to destroy Donald Trump? You say, Todd, that's a bit of a stretch. Is it really? Is it? Because we now know that Barack Hussein Obama was the one leading the Russia collusion hoax. They tried to sabotage Donald Trump's presidential campaign back in 2016. That was the federal government. That was the White House. That was happening from the Oval Office. And we also know that after Donald Trump got elected, there was a concerted effort by the deep state to overthrow Donald Trump as the duly elected president of these great United States. We know they did that. We have all the evidence of that. So is it really that far of a stretch to suggest that the deep state, and by the deep state, I mean the FBI and all the alphabet agencies and the Democrat Party and also establishment Republicans, are you telling me it's not possible they could have concocted this wild plan to stage something that looked violent and then it exploded out of control? Or maybe they wanted it to explode out of control, and that's why all those FBI agents were there undercover. That's why we have to get to the bottom of what happened on January the 6th, because we know that Donald Trump had nothing to do with that. And if they were willing to cover up this pipe bomber because it might impact that narrative, that tells me there is a lot of fire in Washington, D.C. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
And welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. You know, this is my favorite time of year. I just love Christmas, celebrating the birth of our Savior and the music, the whole nine yards. So we've got a lot of new listeners this year. And so be ready, because we love celebrating the Yuletide season here. All right, let's go to the phones. William, North Carolina, wants to weigh in on raccoons. All right, William, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd, another great show. My whole family, we've always been animal lovers. And my brother especially, he ran a fly rod shop. He's the editor and publisher of Rodmaker Magazine. He's been a nature lover his whole life. And he's always loved raccoons. And so he would take in the babies or those that were left without a mother. And he had three raccoons at his shop. And one of the raccoons, we named him Rocky, obviously. And he would watch us go to the icebox and go get our Coca-Cola or some such. And I preferred, my brother did not drink. He drank Coca-Cola or a Pepsi. I like beer. And so Rocky would go over there, and he would pull one out for Tommy. He'd pull one out for me, and then he'd turn around and go back, and he'd get him one, too. And this is not a joke. And so he would sit there and drink a beer with me. This raccoon would sit there and drink a beer with me.
Oh, my God. And so, you know, it's interesting, William, that you say that, because raccoons are actually some of the more brilliant animals, and they have literally advanced problem-solving skills, and they watch humans, and they're able to emulate what humans do. So, William, you might want to switch over to Dr. Pepper, my friend, or you're going to have a drunk raccoon on your hands. Hey, gotta run, everybody. We'll be right back. Thanks for calling, William.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Happy Friday to you, America. By the way, it is also Open Line Friday. That means you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. Ask whatever questions you might have. All you have to do is pick up your phone and call us at 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. Well, we've been covering a lot of stories involving a Turning Point USA and conservative students across the nation that have been coming under attack because of their beliefs, their political beliefs. And, of course, that's been happening with a lot of Christians for years now, and we've been documenting that. I've written 9 books covering a lot of the attacks on students. And it's especially bad in of all places, Oklahoma, which is so bizarre because Oklahoma is literally, verifiably, certified the reddest red state in America. Every single county in Oklahoma went for Donald J. Trump in both election cycles. Well, actually, all 3. But now at the University of Oklahoma, a young lady is under attack and a college instructor placed on leave because she received a 0 grade from the transgender instructor with regard to a gender essay. And the student got in trouble because she cited the Bible in her essay. And now a lot of people are very, very upset over this, including our next guest on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Oklahoma State Senator Kendall Zachary. And Kendall, good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much.
You know, it's just bewildering when you think about Oklahoma and how conservative the state is and how Christian the state is. What was your reaction when you heard what happened to Samantha Fulnecki?
My initial reaction is not a surprise. We know that this is happening among most of our major, state-funded campuses. This isn't the first concern we've had. I usually hear it from the parent side, but this one was from a student, and it was very disappointing to see how this played out for her.
You yourself are a person of faith, and I'm curious, what the state can do, what the government can do to step in, because it seems like the University of Oklahoma, there have been a lot of attacks, and they've been ramping up since the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, not too long ago, we held a rally, and there was some protesting and, destruction of property, and nothing really done from that instance that we're still holding out that they're going to do something about it as well. What we can do right now, I am a person of faith. I serve in the Senate. Our Senate is strong and growing with very conservative legislators. We recently launched our Freedom Caucus, and that's pretty much the one that is carrying the torch right now when it comes to, hey, we are going to actually use the power of the purse and start letting these campuses make the decision. Do you lose funding, or do you get in line with what you said earlier, Oklahoma, we are the reddest. We have passed these laws, these banning of DEI in higher ed, and yet it continues on. So we are tired of it, and we're putting them on notice that in 2026 legislative session, we will bring this to the table.
Kendall Sanchieri is with us. She is a state senator from Oklahoma, and you were featured in the story on the College Fix, a great website, and they cover a lot of these attacks on Christians and conservatives on campus. And I think that's really the way to go here, because ultimately it's about the bottom line. And if they are not going to stand up and protect free speech and religious liberty, my question is, why should they get funding?
That is the question. And I don't have an answer. I don't know why we are continuing to entertain them year over year. In other areas as well. I mean, they're violating, state law, but we give them a handout for something they need, and then we see tuitions rise. It's just never ending.
I'm curious, your constituents, are they weighing in? Are you hearing from them? And if so, what are they telling you?
Yes. I come from a very, very red district, even more than just in the state of Oklahoma. I'm probably one of the highest conservative districts that I represent. And so even before this situation happened, like I said earlier, I mostly heard from the parent side of things that they are tired of funding these schools and then getting reports from their kids that they are still having to take these DEI courses when we have outlawed them and how they're getting away with it. So yes, I have heard from them before and definitely after now more so from the students. More students are coming out to the side of Samantha and saying, we feel the exact same way. We're scared to say how we feel or to actually cite anything in our papers that would lead the instructor to know that I'm a Christian. And we can't stand for that anymore. We cannot allow this to happen.
No, we can't. And I just feel bad for the kids because,
I know
when you're in there, again, they're looking at professors and they're like, I'm just a kid. I'm a student here, And so many of them are keeping their viewpoint silent because they don't want to be flunked out of a class.
Yes, it's sad to see that we have these professors on our campuses that are using grading and their authority to now encourage students to become social justice warriors and instead doing their job, which is to invest in our students' education.
Now, I understand you're a member of the Oklahoma Freedom Caucus. Is that right?
Yes, we're very new. We just launched last year, and I just joined openly last spring.
Well, I'm excited about this. I think every state legislature needs a Freedom Caucus, and we have the House Freedom Caucus guys in D.C. They come on the show all the time, and it's so important that we have people that are willing to draw a line in the sand. Now, you guys are pretty fired up, the Freedom Caucus there, and what are you guys demanding of the university?
We did do a press release, and I could pull it up. I've forgotten all of the bullet points, but we wanted initially a immediate reversal of the grade and the harm to be undone to Ms. Polnicki. I believe that has happened. We also demanded that the graduate assistant that did this grading not just be put on leave, but to be fired. And I think that some things have transpired since even last night that are happening, and I believe that has happened as well. But then that's still not as far as we want to go. We want this to stop now, or we go back to the power of the purse, and we will be raising that in session.
I think that's a good move. And the way I see it, I mean, where we are now in the culture, these universities, they know what they're doing. And at some point, I don't even think we ought to give them a second chance, just defund. And then when they right the wrong, we can have that discussion about refunding these schools. But it's not just happening at the University of Oklahoma. Oklahoma State University, also my understanding, there have been some issues there with TPUSA students being called out. This is really unfortunate. And Kendall, I think a lot of people after the assassination were hoping there might be more acceptance of conservative kids on these campuses.
I know. We saw a recent polling, I think it said, that I think it was just focused on OU, but don't quote me, but it showed that students were polled, is violence acceptable in this environment right now? And I think the number was around 42% said that, yes, violence is necessary. And it's like, whoa, where are we at if We cannot debate our conservative ideas anymore, but instead they're being demolished.
Mm. It's a great question. Kendall, we appreciate you taking some time to come on the show today, and we appreciate you fighting the good fight and having the backs of conservative students there in Oklahoma.
Yep, we stand with Samantha and so many just like her. So thank you for the opportunity.
All right, Oklahoma State Senator Kendall Sacchieri, thank you again. And folks, I like this. I like to know that there are elected leaders at the state level who are willing to draw a line in the sand. And again, if you're not going to stand up for religious liberty, if you're not going to stand up for free speech, you don't get any federal tax money at all. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. It is Open Line Friday. We'll be taking your calls throughout the day. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stern Show. Let's go to Oregon. Ted, listening to us on radio station KYKN. Hi, Ted. What's going on? What's on your mind today?
Well, on my mind is the term freedom. The term freedom is very vague, and I always was taught that the founders based their laws on liberty through law, which protects the righteous from the evildoers. So we had laws against the evildoers.
Yeah. So, and it's a great point, and I think it's a good definition. The ability, the right to do what you want to do without restraint or hindrance, I think is another good definition. But my understanding is you're saying freedom is somewhat vague.
Yes. Yes. Very vague.
How
what's
so?
Freedom. Everything goes. Everything goes. Freedom. Everything goes. And Oregon is in complete control of the evildoers.
Well, I would not disagree with that at all. But are you saying that they're using the word freedom to justify all of their, I guess, criminal activity and all of the things that are happening there in Portland, for example?
Everything from sodomite, attacking little children and changing sex on third graders and marching, making little kids bark like dogs so that they start barking like dogs in high school. And you've probably seen that on TV where this one they had, this guy starts barking for no reason on this advertisement. But I don't know what's behind all that, but they're furries, I guess. Do they call them furries?
Oh, yes, the furry movement. Those people really creep me out. And they're out there, and they wear these crazy uniforms and do very inappropriate things. And, you know, Dylan, now that I think about it, that's why I got creeped out when I had to go give that speech at Disneyland. And I went into that breakfast and it turned out to be the Chippendale Review. And they had the little, what are they, muskrats? What are Chippendale?
PTSD.
Yeah. They were dressed. These people, they're dressed in the furry costumes. So that just, yeah. I hear you, Ted. And by the way, your state health authority—they call it the Oregon Health Authority. Do you know they actually mandate that children in sixth grade, they do it, I think, three different ages within the schools, but the sixth graders, and we had a parent on my Newsmax show the other night, and they want to know, they're giving these surveys to the kids, and they want to know from the kids, okay, are you transgender? Are you gender fluid? Are you pansexual? I mean, they go through, and it's a very thorough sex survey they're giving to 11- and 12-year-olds in Oregon.
Yeah, you know, this has been going on for decades in Oregon. Decades.
Well, if I were a liberal parent, I would like to think that I would be outraged that somebody at the state level, grown adults, are asking my 11-year-old whether or not, you know, they're pansexual.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, they're in complete control. The sodomites are in complete control.
Yeah. Ted, thank you for that call. Appreciate it. So we got a message on our Facebook live stream. What in the hell is a pansexual? As near as we can tell, we've been over this many, many times, and I know it's all very confusing, but it has nothing to do with cast iron skillets, has nothing to do with casserole dishes. So I think your kitchen appliances are somewhat safe, but I wouldn't put anything past them. As far as gender fluidity, it depends. Let's go to Jerry in Iowa. Dylan, you just got that.
Yes.
Okay. Jerry in Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for Open Line Friday. I want to have a friendly argument with you based on Genesis 15:18, if that's okay. My question I'm asking is, should the American government push on to Minnesota a two-state solution? I mean, the Somalis, like the Palestinians, don't like their host country. So yes. Maybe we should divide up Minnesota like we're doing to the Israelis, a two states. So everyone will be happy and can live peacefully with your neighbors. And then they will stop killing us, ripping us off and hating our government. And the Genesis 15:18 is really the oldest land record in human history. It says, I don't know if you don't like Bible quotes on the air, but I'll see if I can get away with it. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, land of Kenizzite, Kadmonite, Girgashite, Jebusite, Canaanite, etc. I might have missed an ite or two. But these Johnny-come-latelys show up at 600 A.D., because that's how old Islam is. And they say, well, this is our land. And so they show up in Minnesota, and so maybe the American government should push on to Minnesota to,
I wanted to hear your thought process here. This makes a lot of sense. So you're basically suggesting a two-state solution, much like what they want to do with Israel and Gaza, and except this would be in Minnesota. Is that pretty much it?
Trump would be sure to get a Nobel Prize. The UN would love him. If they did that, because you got to be fair to the disparaged people of the world who show up in Gaza. And by the way, the West Bank is an evil term. It's really Judea and Samaria. And if you look at Genesis 15:18,
all right. Well, I don't want to get really, into a I don't want to get into a long, drawn out sermon here. But I hear your point, and I kind of like it.
Thank you. I thought we were going to argue, and I was going to be eviscerated.
No. I like this idea. I mean, if we got to go down this path, you know, personally, though, I would prefer just rounding all of the Somalians up and sending them back to where they came from, because clearly they hate this nation. And I would look, that breaks my heart that they would hate America. And I don't want anybody to live in a place they hate. So I say round them all up and send them back to whatever third world hellhole they came from.
Same deal with Gaza and the West Bank. They like that most 70% of all Palestinians are in Jordan. So I've talked with Israelis, recently been to Israel, and they are scared of their neighbors, and they're kind of looking at the U.S. going, how naive you guys are to invite all these people who don't even like your country. So the Constitution is being violated and the Declaration being violated in Minnesota, just like Genesis 15:18, is being violated in Israel. It's not their land. And Minnesota, not once again, Constitution, Declaration, not their land. So
all
they
right.
need it, you know.
Jerry, sorry, I got to leave it there, my friend. The computer's going to cut us off. But, folks, Jerry making the point, a two-state solution. So giving the Somalis their own land in Minnesota. What do you... 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Hope you're doing great this Friday. You know, I feel led, Dylan, to throw out a Christmas trivia question, and we're just sort of in the Yuletide spirit here. And here we go. This will be a somewhat of a difficult question, and we want it to be a smidge difficult. So this first lady began the tradition of selecting a theme for the official White House Christmas tree in the Blue Room in 1961. I'm giving clues. That year, the tree was decorated with ornamental toys, birds, angels, and characters from the Nutcracker Sweet Ballet. Can you name the first lady who began that tradition? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, I have no idea why this popped up on my Instagram feed yesterday, but I just thought it was funny. Cut one, please.
Another starter question. The nicknames Cheesemongers, Cherry Pickers, Bob's Own, the Emperor's Chambermaids, and the Immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
You miss Bright.
Homosexuals?
No, they're regiments in the British Army.
That's pretty good.
Cheesemongers. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend Joe Messina.
I don't know, between the music and the jokes, I mean, I may hang out with you another hour or two. That was great.
You got to love those British talk shows and those debate shows.
I love the British talk shows.
The poor student, though, he thought he had it, right? I mean, he just went there. It was like the kid I was, this is sort of funny. There was one of these spelling bees, and the kid had to spell Niger, the country of Niger. And God, you could see the kid pausing, thinking very, very carefully about his place in life. So,
oh, wow.
You never, I want to hear it one more time, Dylan.
Another question. The nicknames Cheesemongers, Cherry Pickers, Bob's Own, the Emperor's Chambermaids, and the Immortals are or have been used for which groups of men?
You miss Bright.
Homosexuals?
No, they're regiments in the British Army.
The Emperor's Chambermaids? I'm not sure I want to be that. What does that army position entail? That's what I'd be afraid of. Joe Messina, how's it going today, Joe?
Oh, it's going about as good as it can go. Let me see if you. I know you want California information, you know, and it's been great weather out here, and we had all that rain, and as you can imagine, we caught none of it. We corralled none of that rain that came down.
No, I don't understand why they do that. You know, they have these huge basins, and you guys, you know, because there's always a drought situation in California, especially in the southern part of the state. And you're right, the water just, they let it wash right out into the oceans. I've never understood that.
In the immortal words of Dean Martin, if you're going to bring logic to the conversation, we're not playing. You know, it's really what it's like here.
You know,
and we've spent over $280 billion in taxes, or we've collected since the late 70s for this project, and nothing's been done, Todd. Not a thing to truly collect the water.
No, not at all. It's just insane. I want to play some audio. This is from a Democrat representative, Congressman Ro Khanna. And Ro is really upset with Donald Trump and the whole idea to ban migration from third world countries. Let's take a listen to Cut 9, please.
Donald Trump's threat to ban migration from, as he puts it, quote, third world countries is a return to a pre-1965 America when immigration from many nations was severely restricted. If Trump had his way, my parents, who taught me to love this country, would not have been welcome. His threat to revoke citizenship from those he sees as, quote, non-compatible after immigrants from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, and so many places work so hard to earn it is callous and frightening. America is a multiracial democracy. That's what we have been from Frederick Douglass's time, and that's what we must strive for. Trump may have another casual rant on social media, but to millions of hardworking, law-abiding immigrant families, it is devastating. And families are reaching out to me scared, asking where the leadership is. This is not the time to cave. I'm sick of politicians demonizing immigrants and voting for bills like the Lake and Riley Act that deprive immigrants of basic constitutional rights. I'm sick of politicians whose moral compass is whatever poll dropped in the morning. I'm sick of consultants making millions while telling feckless politicians to demonize and scapegoat immigrants. No more. I took on the Epstein class and forced Trump to fold. Now we must stand up for immigrants with the same moral clarity.
You're talking about constitutional rights being taken away. Lincoln Riley was literally killed by an illegal alien on American soil, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, that had to be a parody, right? That's what you just played? Because, I mean, pretty much every word that flowed out of his mouth was a lie or misinformation. We're not a democracy, as you say, right? We're a constitutional republic. Massive difference there. And again, when he talks about what Trump is doing and not wanting immigrants here, and his parents taught him to love this country, they're not teaching them to love this country. They're not coming here because they love this country. They're carrying flags from other countries, right? They're stepping all over our laws. So this is just, again, this is just him putting a narrative out there that makes absolutely no sense and can't be backed up in any way, shape, manner, or form. So he must be running for office again.
Our good friend Caleb Park posting this on social media. This is a quote from Congresswoman Jayapal, and she's claiming, this is the quote, "The majority of Americans across the country, regardless of political party, know that immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country and make this country what it is today." Now, Joe, I went back and just double-checked and went to Wall Builders, our good buddy David Barton, a list of all the founding fathers. There was not a single Lupe, Ahmed, or Tandoori chicken in the mix. Not a one.
No, you're so right. Isn't it interesting, though, Todd, that she left out the Irish, the Italians, you know, people who actually came here.
Who literally built the country.
White folks. Yeah, right? And the Chinese who, you know, worked on the West Coast. Just amazing. The cherry picking of information there. And, you know, think about it. Jefferson, one of the first fights we got into was with who? With the Muslims, right? I mean, that was the first fight that we had with a group like that.
The shores of Tripoli, if you're right. Into the Marine Corps. And just think about this. The reason why, and I always hear people say, well, Jefferson owned a Quran. Yes, he did, so he could understand the enemy. That was the only reason he was reading that book.
Oh, God bless America. Seriously? We've done a poor job in education here.
Oh, just a horrible, horrifying job. Joe Messina joining us, nationally syndicated radio host from beautiful Santa Clarita, California. You know, Joe, we had an election, special election in Tennessee. There are concerns growing among Republicans nationwide that Democrats are gaining the big momentum. There's concern among California Republicans. I know Kevin Kiley, one of them, who may not even have a seat to run in the midterms. What's your take on things?
Yeah, I was very disappointed, not surprised. There's a difference, but very disappointed at how many Republicans actually turned out to vote in Tennessee. That margin was way too slim. I'm hoping and believing it was because people didn't come out to vote because they didn't think they needed to come out to vote because it was a solid red area. But I'm starting to believe if Trump isn't actively involved, when he's not on the ticket, we may have some trouble. We may have issues getting people out to vote.
All right. Well, we're going to keep our eye on it. Joe, where can people go if they want to listen to your show, get more intel on the great Joe Messina?
It's joemessina.com. I can't make it any easier. joemessina.com.
All right. Joe, good hearing from you, my good friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And Todd, God bless. Have a great weekend.
God bless you too, Joe. All right, good man right there, Joe Messina. Hey, let's go to the phone lines here. Bob in Georgia has been holding on for a while. Bob, hope things are going well for you.
Well, thank you, and I hope they are for you too.
Cannot complain one bit. Bob, let's try to win you a copy of my book, Culture Jihad. All right. A first lady in 1961 started a tradition of selecting a theme for the official White House Christmas tree. Who was that first lady?
Jackie Kennedy.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. You are correct. Well done, Bob. Congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, Bob, and we're going to get you a copy of the book. We're also going to get you a free subscription. We'll get your email, a free subscription to the Todd Stearns newsletter. That comes out a couple of times each week, and it's filled with all sorts of great exclusive stories and content for you. So thank you for doing that. And by the way, folks, you can actually go and sign up for that newsletter over at toddstearns.com. We don't share your information with anybody. We don't spam you. Which is one of the reasons why so many people, over 250,000 people, now subscribe to the Todd Stearns Show newsletter. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax 2. Then, later this evening, I'll be filling in for Rob Finnerty on Newsmax in primetime. So hope you tune into both of the shows. Millions of people are now turning to Newsmax, watching us on cable, our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So I want to encourage you to find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America by watching Newsmax. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You can get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This story out of Arkansas. An Arkansas school district has declared war on Christmas. The Ouachita River School District has officially renamed its annual Christmas program. In the past, it was called the Christmas program. Moving forward, they're going to call it the holiday program. The school district also warned teachers that all school events should not encourage or express a preference for a particular religion. This is all happening because of an incident at Acorn High School. The music department there also came under fire because their upcoming Christmas concert included, well, a lot of Christmas music. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is an anti-Christian hate group based in Wisconsin, they filed a complaint on behalf of a parent, and the parent said their child got offended by some of the songs that were included in the Christmas concert. Among some of the songs that were specifically mentioned in the official complaint letter, "What Child Is This?" and "Angels We Have Heard on High." By the way, "What Child Is This?" is the Christ child, the baby Jesus. The Freedom From Religion Foundation claims that the school district violated parental rights and the rights of students by forcing them to participate in religious activities. Now, the school district should have told the atheists to stick it up their stocking. But unfortunately, the school district surrendered. And the attorney for the Ouachita River School District in Arkansas has now said they will no longer be doing anything Christmas-related in the Christmas concert. That means, I suspect, that parents are going to be serenaded with songs like "Rockin' Around the Holiday Tree" or "I'm Dreaming of a Politically Correct Secular Holiday." It's kind of hard. It's a little wordy, but, you know, they'll make it work. I mean, they're musicians. They're smart. It's unbelievable. In Arkansas, of all places. Come on. Dylan, this story from Miley Cyrus. The headline, "Miley Cyrus gags as she reveals she has a serious phobia of paper. Quote, makes me want to vomit." The star of Hannah Montana. You know, I think it's interesting that the first reference to Miley Cyrus is that she was the star of Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Child star from Disney.
Mm. She was on Little Jimmy Kimmel's show, and she says she has a serious phobia of paper, especially wrapping papers, like at Christmas time.
Oh, well, that's a problem.
So I guess she's never opened up a Christmas present.
Or ever wrapped a present.
Miley Cyrus says that paper, especially paper being touched by dry hands, makes her want to vomit. Okay, she needs some serious help. I've never heard of this before.
She needs to go to Christmas counseling or something.
The former Disney star, she's 33 years old, and she said that the note card on Jimmy Kimmel's desk makes her want to get sick. Maybe it's Jimmy Kimmel that makes her want to get sick. She admits to throwing away lovely letters without opening them because she can't stand stationery. What's wrong with her? She prefers to be reached by text, email, or phone call instead. I have a very simple question here. What happens when she goes to the bathroom?
That's a great question.
Is she telling us that she's never squeezed the Charmin? Is that what she's telling us?
Maybe she's so rich she has someone do it for her.
Or maybe she's got one of those cool Japanese bathrooms.
The bidet.
Yeah, that does it for you.
I can see that. I wonder where this trauma came from Miley Cyrus. Maybe she got like a very bad paper cut.
Oh, on the wrapping could paper. Be. Yeah. Could be. I've heard of a lot of phobias, but I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's tough to get over. This is a world full of paper. I guess we're fading with the paper, but.
Does she like trees? You know, that's where paper comes from.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Well, put Miley on your prayer list. Seems to me I would have had more of a phobia with that mullet her daddy had.
And then she got the mullet.
Yeah, that was a bad
look. She inherited that somehow. Well,
and then what she did on that wrecking ball.
Can never forget that video. Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. McDonald's is going green. This is weird. So McDonald's has now introduced a new limited edition adult Happy Meal. Oh, I wonder what the toy is in that prize package. McDonald's teaming up with Dr. Seuss's The Grinch to launch a new limited edition adult Happy Meal. And here's the green part of it. They're messing around with the French fry recipe. That's never a good thing. According to the report, they're now providing and selling something called dill pickle Grinch salt McShaker fries. They've been doing this up in Canada, and well, you can see what that country's like now. Anyway, it's the first time they've actually sold the new fries. They're calling it a diabolical culinary debut. Dill pickle McDonald's French fries. I mean, I guess it would go well with, maybe they would pair well with the McRib sandwich, I guess. I don't know how I feel about that, ladies and gentlemen. You really don't want to mess with the McDonald's fries. I mean, pretty much near perfection. All right, hang tight. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Great to have you with us today. By the way, I would encourage you to check out ToddStearns.com. All sorts of great original content for you there. And also an opportunity for you to sign up for our podcast as well as our daily newsletter. Over 250,000 people now subscribe to that newsletter, and we've got a lot of fun with it. And we love sharing stories that, you know, the mainstream media doesn't necessarily cover. Also, a story that we're talking about today on this program involving Chick-fil-A, the official chicken of our Lord. Or is it? Because Chick-fil-A has apparently waffled on same-sex marriage along with diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. This story coming to us from the Washington Stand. And it turns out that a Chick-fil-A, one of the franchises, celebrating the marriage of two men, complete with posting the photo of the gushing grooms on the Chick-fil-A Facebook page. And our friends at Family Research Council are now calling out Chick-fil-A for what it believes to be duplicity. And I remember, look, I remember the Chick-fil-A story. I was there when it all unfolded, and I was right there on the front lines of it. I had written about it. Governor Mike Huckabee picked up the story and really came upon the national scene by defending Chick-fil-A. But unfortunately, it looks like traditional values have now been taken off the menu at Chick-fil-A, just like the delicious chicken salad and the coleslaw. It's unfortunate. Suzanne Bowdy is the editorial director at the Washington Stand, and she wrote a terrific piece explaining exactly what's been going on at Chick-fil-A. She joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Suzanne, good to have you with us. Were you ever a fan of the carrot salad at Chick-fil-A?
I wasn't, Todd. And I have to tell you, it's really sad because I haven't been back to Chick-fil-A since 2019. So I'm really missing it. And I hope they clean up their act, frankly.
So what's going on here? Where did things go wrong? Let's go back to, you know, what was it, over a decade ago when every Christian in America rose up in defense of Chick-fil-A?
Right, and they won that battle. That was 2012. You were talking about Mike Huckabee really rallying America to Chick-fil-A's side because they'd taken this amazing stance for marriage. They'd come out. They actually fought off people trying to ban them from airports, from shopping malls, from college campuses, and they won. Their profits soared, and for reasons no one can understand in 2019, I don't know after winning the war why you surrender. But the pressure just got to be too much. Chick-fil-A backed away from giving to the Salvation Army and also Fellowship of Christian Athletes because of their pro-marriage, natural marriage views.
that was the beginning of the crack in the Chick-fil-A Foundation. And unfortunately, they turned around and donated that money to hideous, disgraced groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, who inspired a gunman to come into FRC headquarters and shoot Leo Johnson over our marriage views. So it was absolutely horrifying, the transformation that's happened there. Then in 2023, they, while the nation was starting to turn its back on diversity, equity, and inclusion, decided to hire a VP of DEI who is still there. This, after so many companies like AT&T, who just this week said, we're ditching DEI, Chick-fil-A has stood steadfastly alongside it. And it, to me, it is just mind-blowing.
I was astounded by this how fast you go. And we saw the same thing happen with the Boy Scouts of America. You know, they were going down this trajectory. They abandoned their traditional values. And now it's almost, you know, they've almost been destroyed. And it's sad to see Chick-fil-A doing something like this. Is it true that they actually funneled money to a group that hosts drag queen story hours?
Yes, that was part of the whole 2019 controversy. And the Federalists, people were so surprised that the Federalists had to actually publish a story saying, yes, Chick-fil-A did send money to drag queen story hours. They never came out and publicly apologized for that. There was never any sort of, look, we're sorry, this went against our values. So really, we've not seen much from Chick-fil-A in the way of going the Robbie Starbuck direction, which is, look, we're not going to do this anymore. The culture is against it. It's not profitable. For a Christian organization especially, I think that's where my real disappointment comes in. If you profess to be Christian and you actually profit off of those values, then I believe you should be held to a higher standard. I'm just super disappointed as a once fan, but no longer fan of this business.
Suzanne, I have to tell you this story. I don't think I've ever told this story on air, and I'm not sure why I haven't told this story on air, because it's a pretty awesome story. Years ago, I was giving a speech or somewhere. We were raising a lot of money for a Christian school. And the owner or the operator of the local Chick-fil-A was just so excited about it. They brought over this huge, like, I have so much Chick-fil-A swag, it's insane. And they even presented me, like, with a Chick-fil-A apron and my very own name badge, and they named me an honorary Chick-fil-A employee. And then, and I was so excited about it. And so they invited me to come back and be an honorary worker for the day. And we were even going to do a book signing at the Chick-fil-A until corporate found out, and they're like, that's not going to happen. And I guess I was too conservative for Chick-fil-A.
That is shocking to me. And I will say that's part of the problem here. I think a lot of people say, oh, this is just one local operator. But the local operators, yes, some of them are godly, good Christian people, but a local operator can't say, oh, I want to be open on Sunday. You know, that Utah franchise couldn't say, oh, we've decided to be open on Sunday. But suddenly they can say, I'll post something completely antithetical to the company's values. Or are these just not the values anymore? I mean, if I'm a local operator right now and I love the Lord, I'm contacting headquarters and saying, look, this needs to stop. This doesn't represent the company that I signed up to represent.
You write about Mike Huckabee, and I found this to be really shocking, is that Mike Huckabee led the charge, but now he has completely severed ties with Chick-fil-A.
Absolutely. He called it one of the biggest regrets of his professional career, that he stuck his neck out for Chick-fil-A when they got the VP of DEI. And I will say, you know, that post in Utah is concerning, but the VP of DEI is really worse, because he's giving cover to all these operators into this notion that they're still, you know, a little seat at the table for this moral compromise. Until they get rid of this, it's going to continue. And in fact, if you go to their website right now, they've renamed the DEI page something innocuous like Better at Together. But you'll notice at the very bottom, they endorse gender expression, gender identity as something that they'll protect and things like hiring. This is not the Chick-fil-A people think it is. And there needs to be a real groundswell of people saying, we want you to represent the values you say you are, and not just profit on the church.
I mean, God forbid you're, you know, in San Francisco and you pull up to the Chick-fil-A and you order, you know, a Chick-fil-A sandwich and you get like a cheeseburger and, you know, you complain and they're like, oh, no. That burger actually identifies as a chicken.
You know,
Exactly.
I mean, okay, you know.
Exactly.
I don't get it, but okay. And that's what I don't get here. You know, early on, I remember the executives doing an interview, and they said, you know what, we never asked for all the – I mean, it was in essence – they didn't say it like this, but the takeaway is we didn't ask all of you Christians to pull our fat out of the fire.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's the gist of it. And they did. That's right. They didn't say any, you know, I don't recall any press conferences telling, you know, Governor Huckabee, Governor, please stand down. Please don't defend us. No, they were loving it.
Right. And here we are in a culture where the secular companies like Ford and Walmart and Lowe's and Toyota and John Deere and Coors, and you can go on down the list, AT&T this week are saying, this is crazy. We're backing away from this. And yet here's this company that we hold out, you know, like a Hobby Lobby or something like that, to be this great Christian ambassador of our conservative values, and they're standing by it. It's a very lonely group right now who's hanging on to this ideology and publicly professing it as a corporation.
You know, Suzanne, I remember I was at Fox News Channel when all of this was happening. And at that point, we didn't have Chick-fil-A in New York, in New York City. So nobody at Fox knew anything about Chick-fil-A. They're like, Chick what? What? Chick-fil-A. They didn't get it. And I remember we were going to do a big story on Fox and Friends. And they said, we need 100 Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And the closest Chick-fil-A at that point was in Paramus, New Jersey at the mall. And so they sent a limo, and I was the guide that was responsible for picking up the Chick-fil-A. And so I drove in a limo to Paramus, New Jersey, so we could have those sandwiches. And again, it was, you know, I know Dan Cathy personally made visits to, you know, Fox headquarters back at the time. And I'm wondering where all of this began to unravel. Who's responsible for all of this?
I do wonder if it's the kids or the grandkids who are now in leadership positions there. I mean, their mission statement hasn't changed. So it's very interesting. Now, it'd be one thing if the mission statement had changed, but it hasn't. So is this an issue of the kids who've taken over? I think their grandson's now in charge, but it certainly doesn't reflect the Cathy's original mission. I think they would be horrified, to be quite honest with you.
And I feel bad for groups like, you know, Family Research Council and Governor Mike Huckabee, others that really put their necks out there on the line to stand alongside Chick-fil-A, only, you know, for you guys to be stabbed in the back.
And they can fix this. They can come out and say, look, you know, this should never happen at a Chick-fil-A. We don't care if we have owner operators. We should not have a VP of DEI reassign this guy to something that's more aligned with what they're doing charitably. There's still hope for them, but they need to recognize that they're burning down their brand. They continue this 6-year onslaught with people who really look to them to be a light in the culture.
Mm. Suzanne, it's a great piece that you wrote over at the Washington Stand. Give us the website address. Where can people go read the great stories over there?
Absolutely. WashingtonStand.com.
All right, Suzanne, good to hear from you. And do we have a new... Do we have a new? Do the Christians have a new favorite chicken joint now? Who do we need to be
well,
supporting?
They're still in and out, you know. Potbelly's is owned by Christians, so there's still some places to eat. We're not going to starve yet.
What about Bojangles? Are they good? Don't tell me anything bad about Bojangles.
I won't tell you that.
All right, Suzanne, thank you again, and appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Todd. Great to talk to you.
All right, likewise. Yeah, please tell me Bojangles is okay. I mean, it's so ludicrous. And again, Chick-fil-A is devious. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they wanted all the free publicity. They wanted all the Christians to come around them, and then they shiv you. And that's not right. That, and Dylan, I don't know if you've been to a Chick-fil-A lately. It's like going to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
You're telling me.
Unbelievable, the prices.
It's like a whole paycheck just for a chicken sandwich.
Just can't do that.
No.
Just for a chicken
sandwich.
It's
still good, but it's pricey.
Yeah. But I don't say praise the Lord anymore. I just can't. But it is still good. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, are you surprised by Chick-fil-A? And again, once you hit that slope, once you start to turn your back on your values, it's over. And it's only a matter of time. And I think one of the things that really made Chick-fil-A unique, first of all, they have a great product. But it was this idea that we're going to be a place that has values. We're going to be a place that supports the family. And clearly they have decided to go a different direction. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show.
What if everything you thought you knew about online exploitation was only the surface? The shocking docuseries, Sexploited, rips the veil off the digital darkness destroying lives. You'll be stunned by what's uncovered in these real stories. Watch the trailers, if you dare. Once you see it, you'll understand why silence is no longer an option. Visit SalemNow.com and watch Sexploited in America. And visit SexploitedFilm.com.
I feel like I'm on the Lido deck right now. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Dylan, you've been working.
It's a very classy Christmas.
It is a classy Christmas.
Love me some jazz.
No Dirty Santa from John Rich.
No.
Okay. Maybe we can work that in.
We'll ask him.
Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Scott in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Scott. What's going on today?
Todd, I just wanted to ask you a question. Why is it that President Trump has made no attempt to bring back the textile and garment industry back to the U.S.?
Do you? This is the first I'm hearing of it. Are you saying that he has not, or do you have evidence that he is intentionally not doing that?
He's never brought it up. He's never made an attempt to. Everything, you got the stores now, everything that you buy, clothes, everything, it's cheap. It's all from China, Thailand, Indonesia, India. There's no American textile products anymore.
I mean, the
textile industry was the heart and soul. The South is destroyed. I mean, Georgia is basically a slum state. It's just we don't have textile industry here no more. And he has made no attempt to bring it back. I mean, none. Zero.
Are you sure about that? Because part of the emphasis of using tariffs was to promote having those products made back here in America.
Well, it's not working.
Well, it's going to take time. It is going to take time, Scott. And you may be right. I genuinely do not know. I do know that, you know, the president, especially when it comes to the automobile industry, for example, they are certainly bringing jobs back to America. And a lot of it is the consumer. You know, you've got to really be mindful of the clothes you wear and where those clothes were made. And I don't think the American consumer gives one flip. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not disagreeing with your argument here, but I'm not sure the average American really cares where their clothes are made. And they should, but they don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I go to the stores and everything's made so cheap now. You can't even get stuff, you can't buy anything that's made of wool or flannel or cotton. It's all polyester, cheap polyester. It's just, it's insane.
I remember when my family, we originally came from the Carolinas, and we're a textile industry family. So, you know, the great-greats going all the way back, you know, into the 19th century. I know our family worked those textile mills. I know what you're saying. So you're saying that's been pretty much decimated there in Georgia.
NAFTA destroyed everything. I mean, it's just that it's not here anymore. And I thought he was going to bring back the textile industry back to Georgia. And well, he has not done it.
Well, it's going to take some time. And again, I would reach out definitely to your local, to your congressman and whoever your representatives are, your senators, good luck with that. But I would definitely reach out to your members of Congress and say, hey, look, you know, what is the president doing? Does he have a plan? And he may have a plan. I don't know. I know Speaker Johnson was talking about this yesterday. There's so much happening that it's hard to really focus on one thing and promote that one thing. So, you know what, Scott, I'll make an inquiry for you to find out what the president's doing.
Well, thank you very much, Todd. I appreciate it. I just wish somebody would
sure.
say something about this because nobody's saying anything.
I'll do that, Scott. I'll look into it. And again, there are a lot of dumpster fires that were left burning in this country after Joe Biden's administration. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. When we come back, we'll play some of that audio from Speaker Johnson when he brought that up. And he was using it almost as an excuse The question is, do you have a messaging problem? And so anyway, we'll play that. We'll get to that audio a little in just a little while. All right. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. When you get a chance, head over to our website and be sure to sign up for our free newsletter, get our podcast, and also check out the Todd Starn store. We have some great products available for you. All right. We'll be right back.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
You know, Dylan, we've got to talk about Cassie for just a moment. And our dear call screener, Cassie, has delivered some shocking news to us.
No, devastating.
Well, it's not like she's a liberal devastating.
No,
that would be horrifying.
We're good there.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. We're good. Is Cassie close to a micro?
You know, I'm going to make her come in the studio.
Let's bring Cassie into the studio here because we've got to talk about this. You know, most of our, you know, one of the challenges that we have on this show and within the company is we have a lot of Gen Zers who are incredibly talented and they stay with us for a certain amount of time and then they move on to, you know, bigger and better things. Of course, our great Grace Baker, who is doing PR work now, and she's doing a terrific job. As a matter of fact, she was in Washington today with Ben Dieter, who was our EP, who is now a press secretary.
There's a theme here.
Mm-hmm.
Washington.
Exactly.
Don't worry. I'm not moving to Washington.
What are you telling me, Dylan? It's geez, Lou.
Cassie's not moving to Washington.
I'm not moving to Washington.
But you're leaving the show.
Yes, the rumors are true.
This is horrifying.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I gave you a really long heads up.
You did. You kept giving me 2-week notices like 6-7 months ago. It's like, enough of that. When's
Surprise!
The moving van coming? So this is exciting. So you've been here. How long have you been in Memphis?
In Memphis, let's see, about 5 years since COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. And you've been with us how long now?
A little over a year.
Wow. You've done a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun. And you and your husband's a musician.
Correct.
He's a drummer.
Yes, a drummer.
And not just a drummer. He's like a really good, I mean, he is a very well-known musician here in the Memphis area.
He's pretty good.
I might be biased,
though.
Yeah, no, he's very good. But anyway, I didn't realize this. You're not from the South.
No, I am from the North.
So what part of the, I mean, it's okay. You know, we're not going to, you know.
All right. Well, it's affectionately known as the armpit of America.
Oh, New Jersey.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Geez, not that recognizable.
So you're moving back home.
Yes, back home. It's my hometown, my home state, coastal. I just miss the beach. Y'all don't have the beach.
Wait, we've got the Gulf of freaking America down here. What are you talking about?
The Mississippi River? What are you talking about?
The Mississippi will take you away.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I would.
Don't go in there.
You know what I'm afraid to do? Because, and a lot of people do this, and I just cringe. When the river's down really low, we have the sandbars. You know, so you can actually, it does sort of look like a beach.
It is a beach.
But I'm afraid you walk out there and it's like quicksand.
Yes.
They'll yeah. just suck you in.
I mean, if the water is brown, my tendency is to not go in. But, you know, maybe people like that.
Who knows what's Who in knows? That water?
Or flush. Double flush.
And the snakes, I don't know. I'd take seaweed and sharks over a snake.
Yeah, no, but the Gulf of America, have you been down to the Gulf?
I've been to Florida. Does that count?
No, that doesn't count. No, that's just that's southern New Jersey. no, you've got to go down to like, we call it the Redneck Riviera. So it's got to be like Alabama, okay. Mississippi, you know, the Florida Panhandle.
Georgia's one, right?
No, that's, oh. no, no.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
Yeah. They don't have nice beaches. Sorry. Sorry, Georgia. But anyway, it's just the sand is like Dixie sugar. It's just pure white and the blue water.
Yeah, it's a different world over there.
We don't have the white sand. Yeah. We have the yellow sand.
Wait a second. What color?
It's like yellow.
Oh, geez, Alu.
Brown? I don't
it's
know.
Like,
there's a reason why it's yellow.
Yeah. Like, just like it's the not ice, just like the snow. So you're moving that. So here's what I find fascinating is that our good friend Harry Hurley, who was just on, I think, this week.
Oh, yeah, yesterday. You
know, he's from Atlantic City and is the host at WPG Radio there. And so you're moving into his neck of the wood, his neighborhood.
Yeah, I guess so. We go to the same coffee shop.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's really popular up there.
Yeah. He's got a street named after him.
All right. What is the best thing about living in Memphis?
Living in Memphis. Let's see. Y'all have good music, good barbecue. People say y'all down here. I guess not the potholes, right? Not that part.
No, you don't have to mention that to the national audience. You know, the potholes. I mean, you know, come on. We're trying to get people to come here and visit and vacation now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you moved here, I mean, this was a lot of people don't normally. Memphis is not the first relocation thing. What was going through your mind as a New Jersey? What do you call yourselves? New Jerseyan?
Jerseyan, yeah.
As a Jersey girl?
Jersey girl.
What was going through your mind you're moving to Memphis?
Well, of course, my dad was like, oh, but well, that's a high crime area. Are you going to be safe? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to be fine. I live in New York area, so
you know how to take care of yourself.
I can like, you know, throw a punch maybe.
I believe that.
I could, you know, handle myself.
I believe that. Now, are we allowed to talk about your you have another life outside of radio, and you've got like this great business going on with like your pottery. I mean, you're like your pottery is like it's art. I have never seen. I mean, it's just amazingly beautiful stuff that you put together.
Yeah, I do pottery here locally in Memphis. It's kind of like my side hustle, but really it's my hobby more than anything. And it's very girly. So, I mean, it's pink. Sometimes it's got gold glitter on it.
What is the name? So if people want to go check it out, how would they find you? Because you do commission work as well, is that
right?
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. So you could find me on Instagram. I don't have Facebook or any of the other stuff, unfortunately. But Instagram, it's Opal NC Studio.
Opal NC Studio.
Correct, yes.
And when you see the pottery, it's just amazing. Aww. Do you have one thing that you like to make? Is there like a specialty?
Mugs. And currently right now, I'm trying to start making lamps for fun. So that's something new. I'm recruiting my husband to help me with that part because, you know, electricity, I don't know about that. But I can make a lamp look pretty. So I'm starting to kind of move into that area. There's no posts on it yet because it's brand new. But mugs, I would say, is my specialty.
I'm excited about this. So, yeah. Folks, if you're looking for a really cool, it's Opal and C, right?
And C.
Opal.andc. Studio on Instagram. And when you go and check it out, ladies of the Todd Stearns radio show listening audience, you're going to be flabbergasted by what you see. And we'll try to post one of them in our live show blog. Aww. Over on Facebook so folks can get a gander at it. So you're heading out. So Cassie, we have just really thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you and your husband. And you've just been a great part of the team here.
Aw, yeah, I really appreciate, you know, being part of your morning show, waking up this city together, drinking coffee across from each other in the wee hours of the morning.
In the wee hours.
In the wee hours.
In the wee hours. And putting up with Ben Dieter.
And, yep. And Ben.
And Ben. Oh, my goodness. Well, look, you have an open invitation. If you guys ever make it back down south again, you know, please let us know. And I know that you have really endeared yourself to our audience, and they can tell. You know, they know, and it's so great to see them embracing. I know you've already gotten a lot of messages.
Yeah,
from folks.
It's so sweet. I really appreciate it. Everyone's going to be sorely missed.
Very cool. All right, Cassie,
yeah.
Get back to work.
All right, it's not over yet.
Yeah, haven't punched out just yet. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to call and wish Cassie some good luck, go and you can do that. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. And we will post a link in our Facebook live feed, and you'll be able to check out her pottery. It is girly. I'm just going to tell you, it's girly. But you know, if you're a girl, you're going to love it. It's really cool stuff. And if you're a guy, your girl is going to love this kind of stuff. So anyway, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Sexploitation has killed more children on American soil than ISIS ever did. While we think our sons and daughters are safe from sexual predators and exploitation, they're being victimized right in our homes, in front of our own eyes, through their phones and computers. And until you watch this docuseries, Sexploited in America, the enemy will remain strategic, methodical, invisible, and deadly. Today, up to 90% of our children and families have already been captured, and you will not know until it's too late. In one case, a boy committed suicide just 27 minutes after he was contacted by this enemy. Rescue your children, protect your families, and defend our nation by watching and sharing the docuseries, Sexploited in America. Visit SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. Or visit SexploitedFilm.com. www.sexploitedfilm.com.
And welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. So I want to play this audio from Speaker Mike Johnson. He was on Stuart Varney's show, and there's been a lot of debate, a lot of conversation about this one particular question surrounding affordability. Let's take a listen. Cut number six.
President Trump's going to Pennsylvania Tuesday, I believe, to talk about his economic agenda ahead of the midterms. Do the Republicans have a messaging problem with affordability?
No, it's just that we've had so many things to message. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. The Big Beautiful Bill was aptly named because there was so much in it, so much policy, and there were so many things to message all at once. So you had different Republicans out talking about different things, which they need to do in their districts, but it made it appear as though the message wasn't unified. We are laser-focused on affordability, bringing down the cost of living.
Yeah, but that message is not being delivered to the American people, and they're allowing the media and the Democrats to control the narrative. So they've got to get a handle on that pretty quickly. They just have to. Also, Minnesota Governor Tampon Tim Walz, very upset that President Trump keeps calling him retarded. And honestly, this might be to the governor's benefit, because if in fact the governor is retarded, he could possibly use that in any sort of criminal case that's filed against him. The idea that you could let billions of dollars of fraud happen under your watch right in front of you, if that's not retarded, I don't know what is. But anyway, now the governor is very upset because apparently, well, the governor is very upset because apparently you people understood President Trump's assignment. Take a listen.
True. This creates danger. And I'll tell you what, in my time on this, I'd never seen this before. People driving by my house and using the R word in front of people. This is shameful. And I have yet to see an elected official, a Republican elected official, say, "You're right, that's shameful. He should not say it." So look, I'm worried. We know how these things go. They start with taunts, they turn to violence. So deeply concerned.
All right, so the governor's very upset. I guess people are driving by the governor's mansion, and they're, like, honking their horn and yelling, retarded, and then just driving on. That's just unacceptable. What's wrong with you people? I bet it's happening all hours of the night, too. So what I find fascinating here is, and you heard the governor say that, you know, people driving by calling me retarded is going to lead to violence. You can't be using all that sort of loaded rhetoric. Really, Governor Tampon Tim Walz? Really, sir? Is that what you're saying? Because this is the same guy that was out there calling Donald J. Trump a fascist and a Nazi. But that's okay, right? It's okay for Tim Walz and the Democrats to go out there and call Trump and all of his supporters a bunch of Nazis and white supremacists and KKK members. That's okay. But you can't call Tim Walz retarded. Just want to make sure we all understand the lay of the land here. Oh, by the way, War Secretary Pete Hegseth coming under fire because he believes in specific military roles for men within the all-new Pentagon. Take a listen to Cut 10.
I think my stance has been the standards you need to be universally high. And I mean, at the male standard, high. And if that excludes females, then so be it. That's not the intent, but it could be the effect. And that's okay. Not because we're seeking to push anybody out, but because, again, the rule in that Quantico speech, I talked about the Department of War golden rule. And I think, and I've asked commanders to remember it in every decision that they make. Do unto your formation that which you would do unto your sons. So if your son or your daughter was in that platoon and they were about to deploy, what would you want? Would you want diversity for diversity's sake? Would you want gender equality for gender equality? No. You want the absolute best and most capable, no matter what, to the highest possible standard. That's what I want across the force. And however that shakes out gender-wise or anyways, is of no interest to me.
All right. There you go. And I'm with him. I'm with Hegseth. We want the biggest, baddest, strongest people in our military. And those are men. By the way, this just in from Fox News. The Minnesota fraud case, they're saying, no, it's not $1 billion. It could be as much as $8 billion in fraud, $8 billion. Dylan, I know you're riled up about this. You came storming into my office earlier today. We must talk about this. Netflix has acquired Warner Brothers Discovery Studios, $82.7 billion deal. And you got a big problem with this, Dylan.
This is terrible.
Why is it terrible?
I don't really watch anything on Netflix other than documentaries. And also, I mooch off of my family's Netflix. So whenever I'm at home, occasionally it'll tell me that I'm not where I'm supposed to be, which is my parents' address.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what I'm going to do in this situation.
So they're acquiring Warner Brothers, and that includes HBO Max and HBO. And they're going to get control of, like, Game of Thrones, The Sopranos.
Yeah, all the good shows, pretty much.
All the good shows.
HBO Max has Breaking Bad, too. Breaking Bad is one of the best shows on there.
Oh, I love, you know, I went back and I started watching that, and it's really a fascinating series.
It's one of the best TV shows of all time. Game of Thrones is up there, too, excluding the last season, of course.
So you're afraid that what the merger might just water down the product?
That, and also, I won't have access anymore to watch my shows.
Wait, that's the reason why?
Well, yeah. And I Netflix recently has put out really bad stuff, like trash TV. So I don't know. Like reality TV, they got it down pat, but mm-hmm. Everything else is pretty bad.
Martin Scorsese says, well, the industry's over.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a big fan.
It's like Netflix and Disney now. They're the two big guys.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, they put out, you know, I like all sorts of movies. I love political thrillers, but I was a big fan of the Crown series. You know, I love the Anglo. I'm not an Anglophile, but I enjoy those kinds of things. And so my taste of movies, I love war movies. Those are great. So I'm pretty diverse in my theater likes, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I hope they don't make too many changes, but I don't know. I'm just not a fan overall of like companies buying other companies, and they always change it. Like Disney bought Marvel, and now all the Marvel movies suck. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Oh, by the way, big weekend, though, You got SEC football, the championship.
Yes. It's going to be big. A lot of conference championship games.
Man, people are really upset that Vanderbilt didn't make the cut.
I'm upset that Vanderbilt didn't.
They should have made the cut.
They should have. They've beat a lot of good teams, and come on. They're like good now, and it's been like years since they've been good. Just give them a shot.
Years? It's been decades. I don't even think you were born. This is an incredible season for them. But for some reason, they always have to have Alabama in, no matter what.
No matter what.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, anyway, a lot of college football action, and then we'll start getting the bowl games. That'll all start working itself out momentarily. I'm afraid. Do you think Memphis Tigers are going to get invited to the Liberty Bowl? That's my big concern.
I can see that happening again.
The problem is, I'm not sure you're going to get a crowd to turn out.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. After Ryan Silverfield left, we'll see how it goes.
Arkansas.
Yeah,
they acquired him. They're starting to kind of warm up a little bit. But Memphis still doesn't have a coach.
That's true. We don't have a coach yet.
That makes you wonder what's going on there. Anyway, we'll have to check in with our sports friends. Folks, it's been a lot of fun. We've got to scoot out of here. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Our website, toddstearns.com. If you missed any of our great interviews this week, you'll be able to go back and check those out as well. Get out there. Have a great weekend. Be good, everybody.